I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, boy. Here we go. We are off to the races. Welcome back to the Doctor Who After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. How you doing, Whovians?
Good.
Woo!
Oh, we've ascended in many ways, because we're talking about Ascension of the Cyberman. Men. Cybermen! here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yes.
I'm Zach Wilson, stumbling over my plurals.
It's all good.
Adrian Snow's back.
Hi, guys.
Dave Child is back.
Hey, I'm back. Remember me? I jumped out of the portal just like a little master does.
Rachel Goodman, unfortunately, couldn't make it this week, but she'll be back with us next week for the finale. We keep trading off hosts. That's how we do it here.
Yeah, and I will be gone.
We like to trade our companions, because last week Adrian and I were missing. Adrian's going to Scotland.
I am.
But I'll be back. Dave will be back next week.
Yes, I'll be here.
I think we got a fun episode to talk about.
Yeah.
Part one of two.
What episode number is it?
It's episode 9.
Episode 9. It was like, it's an interesting one to talk about because I feel like it's a lot of setup.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of questions are being said, but no answers.
Zero answers.
Yeah, this episode raised so many more questions.
Yeah.
But I think gave us some interesting hints at answers, which I'm very excited to see where we go. Because, like, just going through it real quick, let's try to do a checklist. What are all of our questions right now?
Who's Brandon?
Who's Brandon? How is he immortal?
Yeah.
I guess we know where Ashad came from, but like, where did the Cyberium come from entirely? And what are the limits of its abilities?
Oh, do you
we
think
know
that's
exactly
gonna be
where Ashad came from?
We know that he. So we'll get into that. Okay. Let's go. Keep going through our questions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's see. We don't like. Where did this master come from?
Yeah.
How did he destroy Gallifrey? Why is there a portal to Gallifrey on this mysterious planet with a boundary?
Are all the humans going to Gallifrey? So we're all. Are all the Time Lords just future
humans? Is this a portal that just like goes to Gallifrey, or is it just a portal that opens to somewhere? And because we'll talk about that, I have theories on like, well, what like a human steps onto that portal could do one thing, what happens when a Time Lord steps onto that portal could do a different thing.
Interesting.
Who knows?
And
where's
also,
Jack? How did he get himself involved in this? Who is Koshamis?
Yes.
Why
did they decide? I'm always confused by Chibnall and people's decision to honor or not honor certain previous versions of villains.
Mm-hmm.
So to have like the, you know, 10-year Cybermen, and then to also have maybe even an older version Cybermen, and then to also have the most current Cybermen, but not the Mendazian Cybermen. It gets
very confusing. It's just basically, here comes the robot boys.
Yes.
Just think of them as the robot boys.
And another question, why does everything the Cybermen make have to start with the word cyber?
Yeah. Because it's their brand, man. That's how
cyber
you start
fighter.
A brand. Hashtag cyber.
We had cyber drones in this episode, cyber camps, cyber ships.
Cyber fighter, Cyberian.
They basically have Batman ears. They're just doing the Batman thing. They're just calling it Bat everything. That's just what it is. Also, we have to still get the answer of what's up with that other doctor who you guys have been calling Dr. Ruth.
Yes,
I believe.
Dr. Ruth. Like, so look, we got to have something to distinguish between them.
Yeah, and that needs to be, like, that needs to be answered this season. Or at least addressed more this season.
And from what we understand, it will be at least addressed next episode.
Okay.
Good.
However, that does not, we don't know how many of these questions we're going to get answered. So let's go through Ascension of the Cybermen and attempt to get through a few. Real quick, because we could just discuss it, and then put it aside because we don't know how it ties into anything. Let's talk about Brendan, this little baby in a basket.
Yes.
Yeah.
A doorbell baby, if you will, but before doorbells were a thing, maybe.
No.
Who can't die.
So is this like a Captain Jack thing?
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, he can get old. He can get old,
He's
though.
He's getting older.
Well, so can Bats and Jack.
Jack gets older. I mean, Jack ages crazy slow.
To the face of Beau.
Yeah. But to be fair, this guy got old in regular time.
That's also there's also the question of, like, I think there's a big reveal at the end where I don't know if it's a reveal. I don't know what it is, because then he sees his dad, and his dad is the same age.
Yeah.
And the person who raised them.
Tenants the same age.
So a lot of people in the chat, by the way, I am on the chat if you want to jump on the chat. A lot of people in the chat are talking about whether this is a false memory. And I always felt like this was going to come into, like, this is going through the head of someone who's actually like
a cyber
person.
I thought this was a shod. Was my
that's
my
what I thought at first too, but then I thought maybe his dad was a shot, but then I looked at the actor who played a shot, and I was like, okay, it's
it also, like, the time period doesn't make sense with a shot. Like, he still comes from the future, and he went back in time.
But even when you see half of his armor missing, he has like an old school shirt with like the weird cuffs on it.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought it was just like kind of the under cyber armor, like, clothes.
Maybe, but I was like, that just looks like an old school.
Yeah.
It looks like a guy who, like, when he wasn't approved to be a Cyberman, was just like, I'm going to find an old cyber suit and put it on my body. Like, that's what it looks like.
So, that's what you think is happening with Shot? For me, he looked like a damaged, like,
I think he was the
rejected.
My idea, what I understood about Ashad was that he was converted, but then it didn't take properly, so they threw him away.
And they were going to have him be kind of a leader position. I think he got rejected from that. I think that's what I got.
That's not how I interpret it, but maybe. I mean, that could have been the case.
Like, he was an attempt at a cyber controller?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's also
the fact that usually when you are turned into a Cyberman, it's not like your full body just put into a cyber suit. Like, maybe with the one he was doing, but the one, like, the tenant years, they just extracted your skull.
Yeah.
Like, they could do it that way, and then, like, your skeleton was, like, in there a lot of times, but, like, sometimes they would just, like, take your brain out and, like, stick it in places. Or I think the idea there was, like, they would just marry you with, like, other pieces.
Yeah.
So you still needed a structural human body a lot of the time. But then you don't, because, like, the drones, I think, are still, like, there's a head in there.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I had always been under the assumption that Cybermen were not full bodies. Like, they were, or at least not like they just took the person's body and just shoved it into
put a shell. Yeah, it was more integrated than that.
I think it shifts between.
I think they want to make it as curable, as incurable as possible, or curable as possible, depending on
what
they want for the plot.
Yeah,
I think that's what.
I mean, look, Mandassian,
as incurable as possible.
Mandassian Cybermen are like full body.
Oh, that it was
because Bill was
Bill's full body.
Yeah, but, like, it was, but her body was still, like, destroyed internally.
Yeah.
But she still had, like, hands and everything. Like, her
arms and
everything.
Yeah, it was
her full
body, and then they.
But she was gutted.
Steve in the chat also thinks that his left arm was a Mandassian arm.
Oh,
interesting. It looked like it was just skin. But it definitely was, like, it looked like a human hand.
It looked like he had a shirt on.
It looked like it was like a silver shirt. But it was, again, it was. I still like his design. He's a really good villain. Like, he's a really good leader of the Cybermen.
Oh, I love Ashad. Like, I know we weren't, no one in this room was here to talk about last week's episode where we met Ashad for the first time. But I immediately fell for this character in, like, the sense of, like, this is the most fun I've had, most interested I've been in a Cyberman story.
Yeah.
In years. Like, I liked Bill's episodes with it. It was interesting. It was a different take. But I'm actually interested in the Cybermen side of the story, not how you're affecting my, like, the characters.
It was more always sad when it was Bill, you know, because you're still hoping the doctor can figure something out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't. And it's a fine, whatever.
But it was still just like the Cybermen doing the Cybermen thing.
Yeah.
This is the Cybermen doing something new.
Yeah, this isn't even really a Cyberman. This is just somebody who is just angry and wants to kill
well,
everybody.
Well, he reminded me.
He's like a religious zealot.
Yeah.
Well, they also made him. I mean, there's a reason why he came in on the Frankenstein episode. They made him like Frankenstein in the novel. He was a guy who was full of rage, very eloquent, wanted to be better than what he was, and kind of hates that he's half of something.
Yeah.
And that's what he was like raging against. And it was that's a really nice way to introduce like any villain character. I'm glad it was a person who he got to have another episode with and now like a third episode with.
Yeah.
It's almost coming up. As if he's more interesting than the Master.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Well,
shots fired. Come at me. No, don't come at me about that. But I do think he's more interesting than the Master. At least this
Well, round. He's also kind of newer, and he's something like with the Master. We're kind of still trying to figure out who this Master is.
That's,
like,
I think, a problem.
Yeah.
Like, what's his? Like, I get who the emotionally who the character is, but I don't know his like reasoning. Like, his story is like his why. Mm-hmm. But I like with Ashad because we get this. He starts talking about my blessed ascension. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like rising. He wants to rise to power. Mm-hmm. For Cybermen, it's always this like sort of indiscriminate need to just like. It's almost a savior complex for the Cybermen, usually. Yeah. They're like, we'll free you from your emotions. Like, we're here to help, in a way. But this is like, I'm not here to help. I'm here to help myself
and
rise
destroy
to power.
Everyone else.
Yeah, I don't care about you. This is about me and my power, which is like...
It's a fitting villain for the times.
Yeah. It reads very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And scary.
But the cyber goo that he was trying to get at and is now in his head, what is it called again?
Siberium?
I'm curious about what it actually does because it seems like it has some prophetic qualities too. Like he can see a little bit into the future.
Well,
with
doesn't
this.
It have like the full history of the Cybermen? That's the whole thing of the Siberium.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like from when? Like from when does it have the whole history?
Well, it almost seems like it's like Time Lord technology, because, or maybe even something more advanced than that, because it's able to tell them how they begin and how they end.
Yeah. So maybe it's – I wonder if Siberium is what happens if a Cyberman converts a Time Lord. Mm-hmm. Like that. So maybe – like what if Gallifrey fell to the
Lords.
Cybermen? Well, this – like –
If or not, they turn into Cybermen.
So. Yeah, so like, because if you convert a human, you get human knowledge, but you convert a Time Lord, they have all kinds of abilities.
Yeah,
and maybe like a cyber Time Lord. We have to go with the right naming conventions here for cyber characters.
Right.
A cyber lord,
and that's what they're going to call it. I mean,
cyber lords would theoretically like maybe regenerate in certain ways and ascend, and like who knows what those kinds of physiologies could combine into. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just like turn into Siberium or invent Siberium. Could be like maybe this is when you have a cyber TARDIS.
Also, someone brought this up too.
Time
this is another
dimension in cyber TARDIS.
This is another question, so this is why I'm bringing it up now. I know we're all over the place in this episode, but Dorothy Banks in the chat brings up maybe that is why he went after the other Cybermen in the shop, because he's like unfinished. And that's what they're talking about right now. But it made me wonder, like, why is he going after these other Cybermen?
Why was he, like, attacked that one?
Yeah, and he's screaming and he's trying to salvage parts. But it also seems like, why doesn't he just turn them on and they're instantly with him?
Well, I think it's like, well, because they attacked him, right? Like,
they didn't attack him. They just turned it on.
When he first turned him on, they put their hands out, like, as if to grab him. And then he pushed him back. And started doing the sawing thing.
Oh, I didn't notice that. To me, they just turned on, and then he like went after him, and then they kind of started.
Yeah, I didn't notice them. Like,
I did notice that like their hands went up as if to do their attack thing.
But after they were attacking, that's what I saw.
I thought they went into like the little salute thing that they do.
And that was after when he first like saws them up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think also because he's not technically going with what the Cybermen are about. And so,
which is upgrading everyone.
Which is upgrading everyone. He's going about just annihilating everyone. So that might be a reason why.
Maybe he's trying to
change them a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those Cybermen, like those 100,000 cyber soldiers that are in there, because like that's basically what they said. I think they said it's 100 floors and 1,000 Cybermen on each one. They have 100,000 soldiers.
Yeah.
I think it's like 1,000 because they said 10. They said 10 doors on each floor, and then there were like hundreds of.
But then when they showed them,
but then they said it looked like much
they
more.
They said, how many decks are there? 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, hundreds. So it would be like thousands. Yeah. Yeah, but it's a whatever it is, it's a lot. And this is also the end of the Cybermen, too. This is the end of the humans and the end of the Cybermen. They've kind of like fought each other off.
Because that's the whole thing, is that you can't have the end of humanity without the end of Cybermen's, because Cybermen's right. the human body.
But it makes me wonder why it's like, because Ashad isn't after these humans to convert them. He just wants to kill them all off, which is interesting because that would add more to your population of Cybermen. Why isn't he trying to upgrade them?
That's interesting. Like, I guess that's a fair question. Like, why aren't these humans being upgraded?
Yeah, like, because then it'll be like, if you get one, then you can convert. But he was just out to kill them all.
Yeah. There was a question in the chat where it was like, is it a canon thing about this Time Lords not being able to become Cybermen? I think we can all agree that canon's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah,
especially this season. Yeah. I think they're really trying to, like, change
stuff. I don't believe they've ever said, but Tennant is specifically rejected as not convertible by his era of Cybermen because he has Time Lord physiology.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if that has held true for all of canon, but also, like, it's Doctor Who. Canon is very loose.
Yeah.
But unless you, like, except for within showrunners, and even that, especially with the Moffat years.
I mean, we tried to push canon on Chibnall, and somebody on YouTube was like, guys, it's Doctor Who. Stop caring about the canon.
I care about the canon.
I'm like, well, I mean...
it's important a lot of the time, if not all the time. It's just like we just want a consistent story.
Yeah, and they did at least try to honor the canon by attempting to do some of the stuff that kills Cybermen. It's just like when the Daleks came back, and then Rose went up the stairs, and everyone was like, oh, and they went elevate, you know. You just honor the canon and then upgrade it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So we're looking for consistency.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Anyway, continuing to talk about other things in this episode, let's talk about the Doctor in this episode, because I think this is the most emotional that we've seen this Doctor so far over two seasons. Because, like, I guess when she's, or maybe not the most emotional, but the most angriest that we've seen so far, when she's yelling at her friends. We haven't seen that. That's new.
Okay.
She yells at her friends like, you have to leave. No questions.
Yeah.
She's never spoken to them that way before. And they are thrown by it. That's something unexpected to them.
Yeah, I mean.
She's more of a leader this season, I think, than in other seasons. She's really been with these companions, the three companions, and she's really become this kind of captain, you know. She has a crew, and even that one episode, because I've been watching all of them kind of all together, that one episode a couple of whiles back where she was off on her own, she didn't know who to talk to, she didn't know what to do, because she's so used to having, like,
people there.
Yeah, people, like, so it is, I think they're really finding what her personality is this season, and that's what I've been really enjoying about this season, seeing her kind of, like, becoming a leader, becoming a guide, but also not being there socially, not really knowing how to talk about emotions. And I like that as an aspect of her.
Yeah.
And I think that's a cool twist to having the first female Doctor is not one that could talk about emotions easily. And that's kind of nice.
Well, just because we're women doesn't mean we're in touch with our emotions.
Right. That's why I like it. Because I think that would be like the stereotype you could think of. Like,
and
woman doctor, she's really into emotions.
No,
you know?
And that would be gross.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a part of the Doctor, you know?
Right.
Like, regardless,
the Doctor is socially always, with the exception, I think, of Tennant, socially awkward.
Yeah, even Tennant was kind of socially awkward, but he's so just charming that you just...
Like, you don't notice.
Well, man, there's...
He played a killer on Criminal, and I was still so charming.
We've also talked about this on the show before, about how, like, alien the Doctor is. And I was talking to someone about this today, about how this Doctor is kind of closer to the alien side, much more than Tennant. Tennant is maybe one of our most human Doctors that we've had, and then Matt Smith was definitely a bit more alien, and then Capaldi was like a bit more human again, and it kind of like shifted back, and now we're swinging much more towards the alien aspect, where she is a little disconnected, she has empathy, but she doesn't quite know how to, like, express how to have that one-on-one talk. Like, a friend of mine hated the conversation she had with Graham in the previous episode where Graham was trying to talk about his fear of cancer coming back and she didn't know how to talk to him. And I was like, oh, I love that. I thought it was, like, such a good personality-defining moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where she is. Even in this episode, we're seeing that kind of continue where she doesn't quite know how to talk to – like, she says, oh, and this is the last of the human race. Sorry, there's no better way to tell you that.
Well, how do you talk to someone who doesn't really have a fear of death? Like, They understand it as a concept. They understand endings. But it's not like the Doctor has truly had to conceive of the notion of her own death. You know what I mean? Like, Sure, this version of her might disappear, but – even still, when faced with actual death, the Doctor got out of it.
Yeah, I guess, especially since, like, Capaldi and now going forward. Because, like, you could argue that, like, Matt Smith's Doctor looked death in the face because he saw it. He didn't think he was getting more regenerations. Right. He was expecting to be done.
Yeah.
This Doctor is like, I'm going to live forever!
Yeah!
Yeah.
And also, at this point, I mean, the Doctor has kind of lived forever. You know, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
To get to be that old, like, I don't know.
There's a couple of great comments in the chat that I want to bring up. Kristen says, the last season was about the trip, and this one was about being the leader. And I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
And then also John in the chat's is quoting one of my favorite quotes from this episode, which is, you don't have to tell me your life story. When she's, like, getting the download of everyone, she's like, okay, stop.
Yeah.
That was kind of nice.
This is also for John Ansel. We're talking about canon. He goes, canony wanony.
Yeah.
And then another person says, canon is emoji key. So there's a hot debate in
canon
the chat.
Canon is key. But,
Yeah. So anyway, we're getting at least a little bit of more character stuff from the Doctor.
Yeah.
Even if we're not getting it from our companions so much.
I gotta say, they said that the only person signed on to do another season is Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall. And it's not that I don't like Graham or Ryan or Yaz, but I would be okay if she got new companions next year.
Oh, she should. Three seasons is a lot for companions, and we also just haven't been doing much with these guys.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think there has been moments with the companions this season that I've been really enjoying. I really liked... There was a deep dive into Yaz as a character, like in the previous episode where it was dealing with mental health, and we got to see her struggles, and that was a really moving moment for me, and it was also very a character-building moment, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Ryan, we haven't been dealing with that much. No. I will give you that. But Graham has just been killing it with, like, the lines and how comfortable he is with travel and how there's – and with the space travel and how he has these, like – he has the best jokes. I would miss Graham the most. Like,
Graham does really have great lines, and he's got great delivery too.
I'm not saying I don't like them, but what I feel like there is just something that's kind of off. Like, I don't feel that they could have their own show without the Doctor, and I wouldn't notice quite that much of a difference. Like, because it feels like they're just so.
Well, they're so, like, they're not partners with the Doctor.
Yeah.
They are, the Doctor is their leader, and they listen to the Doctor.
Yeah, and maybe that's not something, I guess, you know, because I'm more new series Doctor Who, I'm not quite used to experiencing.
Yeah.
Because most of the Doctor's companions, and at least the new series, have been more of a, I am your partner, and, you know.
Yeah, I'm part
of
the family.
There's more of a personal feeling to it, and I don't feel that way. And I feel like the Doctor feels that way, and then me as an audience member doesn't feel that way.
There's also a great moment, speaking of this, in this episode that I really liked, where she talked about the team dynamic. I don't remember the exact words, but the team dynamic is not – it's not flat. It is a mountain, and I am the top. I am the summit. Mm-hmm. I have to make the decisions. I have to decide what's happening. And it showed how – it showed that surprisingly this is one of the lonelier Doctors. Mm-hmm. I mean, Capaldi was pretty lonely, but I think Jodie is actually even more so. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because she's surrounded by people that she isn't having an intense conversation with. And she also was kind of hiding more character stuff in her that she's not openly talking to these people about.
We've seen the Doctor at different stages go through bouts of loneliness, mm-hmm. like especially like Matt Smith's Doctor after he lost Amy and Rory went through, like, he Capaldi. Secluded himself. Capaldi went through a lot Tennant. Of it. They all go through their moments. Mm-hmm. But this Doctor hasn't had to go off to be that way. That's just sort of her default, is to feel separated and on her own. And that could be, like, the amount of companions that she's lost over the years is building up. And, like, Cybermen reappearing after, like, having taken out people that are close to her, like, multiple times in recent seasons, and has got to be a stalwart. Like,
Bill
a
was probably, for at least for Capaldi's Doctor, I mean, Clara was fine. But, I mean, you know how I feel about Clara. But I think Bill was able to get to the Doctor in a way that he did have, like, a true affection for Bill.
Yes.
You know, not to say that he didn't have an affection for any of his other companions, but to watch her turn into something that he fears.
She bloomed under his guidance.
Bill also had an apprentice mentor relationship with the Doctor. That's there. And this is like, this is a very Star Trek-y kind of group here. I'm in the middle of rewatching a lot of Star Trek, so I'm like referencing it.
But
a
you're
lot.
Not you're not wrong in that there's a captain and the crew, and while they are friends, they don't have an equal footing.
They just bunch of red shirts.
I hope not. I don't want to see. I really.
No, I don't.
Especially
think
because
think so.
We're doing a Cyberman episode, and to have like three
after
people,
we lost that Bill,
like Dan, we lost Danny Pink to a cyber story.
Yeah.
We lost Bill to a cyber story. I don't need to lose more companions
Capaldi
to
lost
a cyber
everybody
story.
To a cyber
yeah.
Story.
So like that thing, we've done a lot, and this is like this is the most interesting interested I've been in Cybermen in years.
You can't turn no more black people into a Cyberman. You can't do it. Okay.
What is that saying? What
I'm
is
just
that?
Saying you turn all your black people into Cybermen.
If Ryan,
okay?
when Ryan disappeared at the moment, I like at the beginning, I just went, oh no.
No, Ryan.
Don't do three for three, Chibnall.
Nah. Don't have to be grand.
I'm also. Sorry. We talked about the companions a lot, but there's still some other stuff we've got to talk about. We don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah, of course.
So I want to jump to the portal, the barrier, rather.
The boundary.
Is the boundary? I got it wrong several times.
The boundary.
The boundary. I even have it written down. The boundary and Co-Shamus.
Yes.
This, like, mystical wizard guide who's literally got, like, moons and stars on his cloak and a staff. Like, he looked
moons
like Merlin.
Stars?
On the back of his coat, there were, like, some, like, moons or stars or symbols,
notice.
Like, drawn. He looked like a wizard.
Yeah, he had very Luke in Last Jedi feel to me. He had very, like...
What if these people are Time Lords?
Well, so to recap... We find this boundary. The Doctor steps out onto these rocks. You have to get closer. And it reveals not an idyllic world that I guess Co-Shamus was used to seeing, mm-hmm. based on what he said, but the destroyed Gallifrey. Mm-hmm. So is this a time portal of some kind? Is this a boundary to Gallifrey? Like, mm-hmm. are we on Gallifrey right now? And this, like, boundary is keeping a piece of it there?
Also, Coco said that... I call him Coco. Coco said that this was the first time he saw that.
Yeah.
To see Gallifrey.
But, he said he's never seen it like that.
Yes.
So it's possible that he was seeing it in good standing, and then this is the first time he's had to go near it since the Master wrecked the place.
And then there was is it Ethan or Evan?
Ethan.
There was something that he said where he was like, you think I'm a child, when he was fixing something, and I was like, that's a weird thing for a teenager to say, like to, because he made a reference to him being younger, and then Ethan was like implied that he was much older than we thought. I don't know. I was just kind of like, are these people human, or are they like the beginning of Time Lords, or like are we like?
So this goes back to my theory that I dropped earlier this year that I've had for years, that somehow humans turn into Time Lords
yeah.
by some crazy coincidence. And, like, they're literally talking about, like, and then the Master jumps out
yeah.
and is like, don't be afraid, Doctor, because everything is about to change forever.
Yeah. No one says that before they tell you something is about to change forever.
The Master does. Yeah, the Master is the most melodramatic bitch on this planet or in this universe.
I've never been told something that changed my life forever, and it started with, I'm going to change your life forever.
Oh, my gosh.
Clearly, you have not been to enough motivational seminars, Dave.
They did not change my life forever. That's the problem.
You're not going to the right one. Anyway, we don't have a ton of time, so I want to move, and we'll do our who's who after this. But, like, can we just get into prediction territory?
Because
I want to talk about, like, what's coming next week while we have time.
Your AfterBuzz,
because as
TV
apparently Harley Quinn says in the chat, dun dun dun. the Master jumps out. Everything is about to change. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of what's coming next week. We know that we're gonna venture more, do some more with Coco, mm-hmm. And like this cyber and Ashad and the Siberium
and Brendan.
And Brendan is gonna. I hope they tie that up. I mean, I think they have to. We don't know. This is casting rumors, so spoilers based on that. Like, according to IMDb, we're going to get at least some more answers about Dr. Ruth.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What thoughts?
There's a couple of things that I find interesting. Is one, you brought up the fact that we've been doing the Cybermen a lot, especially at the end of seasons with the Master.
Yeah.
And it made me think that it was kind of like, it's weird to bring back the Cybermen again and then bring back the Master and have them all kind of in the same mix again, unless that's a direct connection to what happened to Missy and what happened from Missy to this Master. And I'm wondering if we're going to find out what happened between Missy and this Master, or if it's not between Missy and this Master.
So this Master is the one that comes right before Missy. Which is what we've kind of been thinking.
Or after. Like, we could find out something like that. I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's going to be, like, a connection there, because Missy used a lot of the Cybermen in her time. Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking that the whole Brendan stuff, I'm wondering if he is Coco, if it's, like, connected that way.
I had the same thing.
Or if it might be something where we're seeing someone's reliving their life over and over again. So maybe that last part was actually fake, but the rest of it was real. And you're just seeing someone kind of live that.
Not sure. Adrian, what are you thinking?
Or Cybermen technology.
Yeah, it looked like old Cybermen tech.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's a lot going on. Like, I don't think Brendan and Co-Seamus are the same person necessarily. I do think that Co-Seamus might be hiding something, because he was able to escape being upgraded. That's kind of weird. Just putting that out there. I do think it's possible that these people are, like, the beginning of the Time Lords, and what does that mean? And, well, then who are these people really? Are they just, like, simply human, or are they something else? And how do they get the two hearts and that kind of stuff? So there's a lot to go through. I'm excited to see, like, Dr. Ruth. I think Dr. Ruth might be an older version of the Doctor. The Doctor's so old, they just don't remember. That's all I got.
I also want to bring up one more thing.
Well,
yes,
okay,
I'm going to do it. Here, I think whether we like it or not, I think maybe those godlike beings from the Star Trek episode of this season might actually maybe come back, because they're immortals. And they're talking, we've just met another immortal. And in that episode, they talked about Guardians. And then we're talking about Guardians here.
Oh, and that place is called Garda.
Yeah, so I think that episode, while it seemed like a one-off, I think it might be more connected than we think.
I hope so. That's what I've been wanting from Chibnall's run that he hasn't done so far. But,
Right. Okay,
we got to do, so I want to do, who's who on who?
I'll do it real fast. All right, so we're just talking about the actors today, because if you don't know who the Cybermen are and what the gold dust means, I'm really not here to tell you. Like, welcome to Doctor Who. Get with it. No, I'm joking. Gold dust kills them and it causes respiratory issues. So Ian McKellenny, sorry, I'm dying a little bit, is Co-Seamus. You mainly recognize him from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and as Barristan Selmy on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
oh no, here we go. After that, we have Patrick O'Kane as Ashad. He, the lone Cyberman, was also in Game of Thrones. He played one of the many faces that What's-His-Face turns into. And he was in Star Wars Last Jedi. Now, clearly, these are well-established UK actors, and I'm sure they have much bigger roles in theater and on television, but I just pulled what I understood and what I got. And then lastly, we have Julie Graham as Rabio, which is kind of the love interest of Graham.
Yeah. She's in, I like that, by the way. We didn't talk about that, but that was great.
Yeah, so she's also a well-known actress. Shetland, Harry, and Benidorm are some of her credits. So
cool.
Yeah, and that's Who's Who on Who, and yeah, the gold dust causes respiratory issues. And
how does it cause story issues?
Respiratory issues.
Oh, okay. Breathing.
Cool.
Breathing issues.
Breathing.
Like what I'm having right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
There's some irony in there. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Doctor Who After Show. We will be back next week, Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific, to talk about the season finale of Doctor Who Season 12. I can't wait.
Yep.
Until then, I've been Zach Wilson. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Adrian.
Yes, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also catch me in the next 2 minutes on Outlander After Show. And on Wednesdays at The Magicians. Unfortunately, for the next 2 weeks, I will not be at The Magicians After Show and I will not be on Outlander, but I will catch you in late or mid-March.
Because you're going to Scotland. That's pretty great.
Scotland.
Find Brendan for us, please.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. My name is Dave Child.
This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Oh, boy. Allons-y.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.